Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it's a total eclipse of the fart. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. That's right. Reading the jokes right out of the show notes. Welcome, everybody. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Welcome, everybody. We want you to know that we workshop that joke for all of the time it took me to say it and Travis to write it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we do prep for this show. And I think it's obvious.
We did.
Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And Travis isn't lying. We do sometimes prep for this show. In fact, we did prep for this episode. We
prep about as often as there is a total solar eclipse over North America.
That's right. That's right. You know, you didn't get to see the total solar eclipse, did you? You only got to see like 85%.
As the scientists say, within the path of totality, Brandon.
But San Antonio was.
Oh, good for San Antonio. Were you in San Antonio? Did you run back to Los Angeles from San Antonio this afternoon?
I'm currently in the eclipse.
I'm currently riding on the moon, blocking out the sun.
Coming to you live from the moon.
You know, when I thought about doing this episode, I was like, oh, we could do like coming to you live from the path of totality, where blood monsters are coming out of the water and it's interdimensional RSS. And I was like, no, it's not. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Yes. Yeah. And which is good, because that way we can save that sweet, sweet adrenochrome for later.
Yeah, we'll just make a little note of that one.
Yep.
Well, this is Apathetic Enthusiasm. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to follow the show, you could do that on the internet at Apathusiast on Twitter. I am at Joe Gomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Apathetic Enthusiasm Show. Email us, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Apathetic_enthusiasm on Instagram, and our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. If you want to watch video versions of this episode, go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. I have it on good authority.
Oh, good authority.
That there are people in the world that are watching this podcast on YouTube. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing that. My only ask, hit that like button. Subscribe, if you will, or leave a comment. Because then maybe other people will find it as well.
I'm watching this on YouTube, but I'm not going to put myself out there.
I'm not going to like it.
I refuse to give you the satisfaction of giving you a like button.
I'm not going to take this finger and move it all the way to that little thumbs up button and click it.
Oh, yeah. You got to do it.
No, sir.
Like and subscribe below.
Like and subscribe. Also, big thanks to all of our patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Big ups. Thank you for continuing to support this show and all of our podcast endeavors. Thank you for tuning in to our exclusive post shows that you can only see over at patreon.com. And thanks for being awesome. You always will be. Even if you stop supporting the Patreon.
That's right. Big ups to all of you. Big ups to everyone in the world.
Ups.
Yeah. Did you know that there are some ups that will network to the computer? Did you know that there's some ups that send that data back to the computer? And that's why
that makes sense.
And that's why, you know, nowadays, because we got asked and recently at work, they're like, can we take these ups out of the restricted area? And I was like, well, are they ups? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, do they?
Yeah, connect? They're big ups. We got big ups.
Do we have big ups? And they're like, do they connect to any network or anything like that? And they're like, no, they're ups. And I was like, I have to ask because some ups do. And they're like, well, these aren't those ups. I said, well, You know,
they're not the big ups.
That's right. They're not the room sized ups. Those are ginormous ups.
So many ups. Speaking of ups, I was getting up this weekend because my kid had to work opening shifts at the coffee shop that she works at.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have a car or a license. Oh. I was getting ups.
Did she not pass her test, or she's not old enough to
take? She just hasn't tried yet.
Oh, okay, cool. Nothing to expand upon there.
Nope. She's continued to practice driving. She's doing a good job. Hmm. But it meant that I was getting up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning to drive her to work. So I'm really pulling for her to get that license sometime soon. It's a great kid.
How early is opening shift?
She had to be there at 5 on or 5:15 okay. on Saturday.
Okay.
Like 5:45 on Sunday.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, it's earlier than I usually wake up on the weekend.
3 to 4 hours earlier than you wake up on the weekdays.
Cool. 8 hours earlier. I'm so asleep all the time.
So asleep. I didn't wake up that. Well, maybe I did wake up that early on the weekend. I don't remember. I was supposed to run on,
because not only are you an insomniac, you're also have amnesia.
Insomnesia. Yeah. I was. Let me go through the story, and then I'll tell you why I was disappointed. Because
tell me why.
I made a joke about the eclipse earlier, because my friend was in San Antonio. He's like, "Ooh, I'm gonna see the full eclipse." I'm like, "Oh, cool, man! Like, you know, when the demons take over, are you gonna like start like a community of demons?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna be their leader." I said, "Okay, like, is it gonna be like a monarchy or a democracy?" and I laughed about it, and then I looked it up.
Nothing like laughing at your own joke.
And then other people made the joke, you know, on the internet. And like, there's one of those Urban Dictionary posts for it, and it talks all about it. I'm like, ah, dang it, you know. And it was made in 2014. I'm sure it's been made before that, but it was made in 2014, which makes me like, oh, I was in Korea that year. It was old.
Yeah, I thought, okay. Eclipse talk for a little bit, but I thought the eclipse was cool. I was in an area where we were going to get like 97 or like 95% coverage. So like, this is going to be pretty sweet. It basically looked like a very thin, like crescent, the sun. We all had those eclipse glasses, which I'm going to be honest. I got these eclipse glasses. I got them at 7-Eleven, which is a convenience store. I'm putting a lot of faith in a $2 paper pair of glasses while I stare directly into the center of our solar system, the source of all heat and light, that if you did so without a thin piece of cardboard and dark, I don't know, filament, whatever it is, you could blind yourself. And I'm not going to lie. After being out there for a little while, my eyes were kind of hurting. I was like, how effective are these eclipse glasses?
Well, how long is a while? Were you there just staring at it for about 2 hours?
I went outside for 3.5 hours and just stare. I opened my eyes and I just stared directly into the sun. Without blinking. Good. And
make me Cyclops. Make me Cyclops.
had to put a visor on me and everything. I genuinely, what I think happened is I almost never go outside without regular sunglasses.
Mm.
And I wasn't wearing my regular sunglasses because I kept putting the eclipse glasses on to look at the sun. And I think my eyes just hurt from being outside. being a normie. Yeah.
That's fair. I didn't go outside. I didn't look. At one point in time, I did look up at the sun. I was like, oh, that's bright. Okay.
Yeah.
Go back
at black hole sun.
Won't you come? Take with me.
What would you have seen from where you were at? Would you have seen any partial eclipse-ish action? I mean, I don't know how far.
I don't know. I didn't
so far away.
I didn't care that much, actually. I think it's cool. I think eclipses are cool. But I was also like, I gotta go to work, so it's fine. The last eclipse that we had, I was at like a convention, and I was doing interviews, and then somebody walked past, like, "Hey, you gonna look at the eclipse? Here's some glasses." Like, "Oh, there's an eclipse. Oh, I didn't know there's an eclipse." So, and I went outside, and I'm like, "Oh, look at that! Cool."
Well, back to this convention. My highlights for my eclipse day.
Highlights.
I will say highlights. Just a lot of people kind of excited about it. Doing something a little bit different to break up the day. Where we were, even though we weren't in the path of totality, it was still noticeably like darker in the like 10 to 15 minutes before and after the maximum coverage where we're at. So like you could definitely feel it get cooler, like several degrees cooler outside. And it like started to like get almost like dusk for a few minutes, and then like in the middle of the day, and then start to light back up. So that was pretty cool. But a standing meeting that my office has every Monday afternoon, we canceled so we could all go see the eclipse. So win-win, right? Wait. Like got out of a meeting, got to go hang out on the roof and look at the sun,
yeah,
through 7-Eleven glasses.
You know, if my boss Hassan is listening today, I missed a couple of meetings today, and it's because of the eclipse. Definitely because of the eclipse.
Loves those celestial eclipsing things. I don't know.
I wasn't not going to go to those meetings, but I was like, no, I just, you know, all the things I said before about eclipses not being that interesting and me skipping them. No, I mean, I love them so much. I had to miss two meetings where we talked about things that we've talked about dozens of times.
Yeah, because of eclipses. I don't know. I thought it was cool. I felt like, okay, 7 years ago, there was another eclipse that was like right in the middle of the United States too. So I feel like I'm kind of eclipsed out for a while. Like if you have too many eclipses too often.
That's true.
They're not as special.
That's right. Right. It's like, oh, okay. 2044. We got another one. You know, I don't need that many in my lifetime.
Yeah. Although I did see a video the other day where Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about some comet that in like 5 years it's like a comet the size of the Rose Bowl, and it's going to get so close to Earth that it's going to actually like dip into our atmosphere or something. And it has the potential to where if it gets just the perfect amount of closeness, it will affect the orbit of that comet to where like 7 years later or something, it will hit Earth. And I was like, well, that's fun. Guess I'll go to sleep now.
Well, I mean,
yeah, space.
I think they have ways, to affect that nowadays.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've read up all about it. I'm well aware of the process to get the crew of guys to work on an oil rig and send them up to space to drill on the asteroid.
It's peer reviewed, man. It's a peer reviewed study that they did.
Stay awake just to hear you breathe.
And Liv Tyler just sits there crying the entire time.
Yeah, while Ben Affleck takes animal crackers and plays with them on her stomach.
You know, animal crackers, the frosted
ones. You lie awake.
the frosted ones, like the pink and the white frosted.
the animal? Mother's like circus.
Mm.
Those
are the best, dude. Those are the best.
Those are the best. They are the best.
Can we talk about that for the next 20 minutes? For
Mother's cookies for the next 40 minutes. I mean, it's worth trying.
Okay. All right. This just in, circus cookies, the best ever. Travis, your thoughts?
I agree.
All right.
They are good. They are good. Yeah.
They have a good crunch. They have a good crunch to them.
They have a good crunch. The sweetness of the frosting on the outside. I think you have to enjoy them in moderation.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you eat too many, I think you'll lose all sensation in your mouth.
Yeah.
There may be some sort of chemical involved in the process that does take away all sensitivity.
A brief aside, I know we're in the Mother's Circus cookie hour, but aside, what other foods are out there that you love them, but really you can only you can't do them a lot?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question.
I have a couple of my examples.
Okay. All right. Maybe you'll get my brain moving in the right direction. What are some of yours?
Okay. Okay. Eggnog. I love me some eggnog. And
I can buy a carton at like Thanksgiving and like Christmas Eve. I'm like, we still got this eggnog?
Mm-hmm. When I was younger, and I'm like, I drink that whole damn thing, go through like carton after carton.
Just come running in off the playground, sweating. You're like, I gotta get something to drink. Pop that carton of nog and just knock it back.
Oh, yeah. Brandon, you can't put nog in your water bottle. You need actual water.
It's for protein, Mom. I gotta get strong.
just like eggnog, like coming out of your pores, just dripping down your forehead.
It's like you just got nog in one hand and nutmeg in the other, and you're just like,
I'm knocking back these 40s of eggnog.
Just shaking your face.
At our soccer practice, when we, you know, like once we're done, we like put the jug of eggnog over the coach. We did it.
I just picture you rolling up after soccer practice with the orange slices and the eggnog, and all the other kids are like, "We don't want Mrs. Cruz to bring the snacks anymore."
Eggnog's one of them.
Yeah, moderation. I don't know what else. Okay,
all right. Well, I got another one.
Okay,
wait up. Is Cadbury cream eggs?
That's fair.
I love them. But they're for me now anyways. They're a little too sweet for me nowadays. Like cloyingly. I wish there was anything that
was too sweet for me. Especially my waistline really wishes that was the case.
The cream eggs for me
eggs are very sweet. Very sweet. Yeah, I can. Sometimes I can't even eat a whole one. Like,
oh, really?
Take it.
I got another one. Those cherry pies, like the dollar cherry pies that you get like in the wrapper at
like the frosted mm-hmm. like
the yeah. frosted pastries. Oh,
yeah.
I can eat one of those.
I can't think of the last time I had one of those.
I think maybe the first time I realized I only do those in moderation is I might have been like 16 or 17 and I bought two of them and I ate them both and I felt like garbage. And I've tried it again since and I feel like garbage when I eat two in a row. So I don't do it.
Man, I'm having a hard time thinking.
Okay.
Can't really think of anything that I eat. I mean, it's sweet things like the Mother's cookies or, you know, like a, like like Thin Mints, Girl Scout cookies, like those types of things. Like,
yeah.
I only want a couple, and then you gotta back off.
You know, otherwise you'll eat the sleeve. Am I right?
You're right. And I, you know, what it is, I think maybe it is because it's a seasonal thing. Like the seasonal things are the ones that are like, oh man, Mother's isn't seasonal, but the other ones, like it's like, oh, they're here now. I'm gonna gorge on them, and I'm gonna get burnt the hell out real quick.
Yeah.
Starburst jelly beans. So good. I ate an entire bag on Friday night and I regret it.
Like in one night?
Yeah. Well, it was like 3/4 of the bag. So,
sure.
To be fair, I didn't finish it.
I always feel bad when like Sheena buys a bag of Starburst jelly beans for the house and then one for me. And then like the one for me is gone.
And then you dig into
and
the
then I
the
eat family. The ones for the house.
Yeah.
Now
yeah. as far as
all about health and fitness.
As far as candy goes that I can't stop eating, the red vines. Red vines I just can never stop. I can eat as many as there are in existence.
This you have brought up a debate within my office.
No, Twizzler is not. No.
Okay.
No.
I'm Team Red Vine.
I know you are.
Team Red Vine. Red Vines versus Twizzlers. For me, Red Vines, 10 out of 10 every time. The people that I work with very much feel the opposite. Yeah. They are all Twizzler. I had one person that I work with that was like, I don't know that I've even had red vines. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much. Now, maybe I oversold it.
Oh, yeah.
In and out. I was like, oh, they're so much better than Twizzlers. So much better. And I like went to the store. I bought a packet of red vines. I'm glad for my sake, I didn't buy the plastic tub of red vines where you just get like 500 of them or whatever. But I just bought the like movie theater pack, right?
Yeah.
Bring them in. We do like side by side taste test. Twizzlers won handily. And everything I knew about the world was different after that day. I'm wondering, is it a regional thing? Because we're both, you know, West Coast boys, both from SoCal. Twizzlers were always available in my youth, but I always preferred the red vines.
I think I started with red vines, and then I think I bought Twizzler maybe because I thought they were red vines, so I'm like, oh, these aren't. I mean, I'll eat them, but you know, like they weren't what I wanted. And like you can drink them, use them as a straw, but that's why red vines at the movie theater, you're drinking your icy
superior. Bite off the ends of the right. Red vine. You use it as your straw,
and you put it in that cold liquid, and then it hardens into
it's
a
real
straw.
Hard and brittle.
yeah, and then you chew it in the theater, and, like, and then people are like, "We're trying to watch The Notebook." And like, shut up! I'm eating my red vine straw. Not a true story.
I just picture you watching Nicholas Sparks' The Notebook. with an IC and a bunch of red vines.
I love this part.
Yeah, Ali and Noah, they're meant to be. Am I right?
Yeah, they'll never forget. Always remember. So there are some good Twizzlers though. The I think there's like a strawberry or not like a Starburst kind of like Twizzler straw that's really good. Go ahead.
Outside competitor, the Sweet Tart ropes have entered the chat. These are another, you know, strand type candy where it's fruity on the outside, but then on the inside it has like a white, like Sweet Tart type paste on the inside.
Yeah.
Those things are delicious. We went through so many packages of those for a period of time in my house. I haven't bought them in like a year and a half, but for a good 6 months, They were the only candy we were trying.
What are your thoughts on two different candies? One is the sour string things.
Like Sour Punch straws.
Yeah, Sour Punch straws.
Yeah,
first one.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on Sour Punch?
I loved them as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite now. I don't think I'd ever choose them. But when my kids choose them, I'll take a dad tax.
Game
one
on.
Or two.
Game
you
on.
Know, threaten okay. me with a good time.
Okay, and then finally. Before we wrap up this episode of Candathetic Enthusiasm, what are your thoughts on Nerd Rope?
Nerd Ropes are fine. Nerd Gummy Clusters all day, baby.
Okay.
All day.
All right.
Nerds Gummy Clusters are wonderful.
So good. They are really, really good. You know, as a nerd, I love eating my fellow beings.
Your fellow nerds?
Yeah.
Have you had them freeze-dried?
No.
Have you had any freeze-dried candies?
I had some freeze-dried, like, Lemonhead type things, which are really good.
Okay. So, for those of you that are not riding the social media candy wave... there's a trend in candy right now where people are just freeze drying other types of candies and then reselling them for like 400% markup or something like that. So oftentimes the best candies, it's usually like a sour or like a fruity type candy.
Yeah.
When they freeze dry it, you know, takes a lot of the moisture content out of it. Makes them a lot more crispy or brittle. So my kids were very into this for a short period of time. Freeze-dried Skittles are super good. They kind of like pop a little bit. So the outer shell of the Skittle like cracks and the white interior just becomes this
blooms.
a little bit. And it just becomes like a really like crunchy kind of like brittle candy. But still has the exact same flavor of the Skittle, right? Hmm. And then things like gummy candies, like peach rings or stuff like that, they get a lot bigger, but then when you bite into it, it just like crunches and like dissolves into like almost nothing, right? It's just like a very crunchy, different sensation. But yeah, Nerds Gummy Clusters, freeze-dried. They're delicious.
Sounds pretty good.
If you come across them... And you feel like taking out a second mortgage on your home? I highly advise trying them.
Highly advise it. No, they sound good. They sound good. Anyways, you know, what are your favorite candies? What are your?
Yeah, hit us up. Hit us up on our email. Let us know what your favorite candies are. They didn't talk about chocolate the whole time. I'm leaving a YouTube comment.
Ooh. I prefer freeze dried chocolate.
I'm sure that's a thing.
I'm sure.
But, you know, candy's the thing you enjoy in your youth.
Yeah, you crush
right?
it.
And then some of us never really grow up. And so then we just continue to always enjoy candy forever and ever.
I enjoy candy, you know, maybe I enjoyed it too much as a kid when I got my first couple of paychecks from Vaughn's. And it just so much candy
in that apron.
We talked about it before, but gummy savers were my thing. I eat so many gummy savers. So that the snack bar at my work, they sell bags of gummy savers. I bought a bag of gummy savers and I haven't bought another one because I now know that it makes me feel like garbage and gives me massive heartburn. And I like to the point where I'm like, I can't do it anymore. And it saddens me, Travis. It saddens me.
I believe that. I understand.
That's why I drink more.
That's an emotional thing. That's why I drink.
Because
I can't have candy.
Can't eat gummy savers anymore. My therapist is like, really? It's not like any deep-seated trauma. I'm like, no, it's the gummy savers.
It's the gummy savers. If only I could have those gummy savers.
I'm not. I know I can refer you to somebody who specializes in candy, but
this is literally like you need a nutritionist, not a psychologist.
What else have you been up to? Okay, now we're going to get into our actual topics of the day, which is you went to a concert. Eclipse.
No,
you never go to concerts on your own.
I do not often go to concerts. This is correct. And, I go, but I'm usually taking my kid to see a band they want to see or something. Right. And, there is a band that my wife and I have been listening to for over 20 years.
Wow.
And we were listening to them. It's so long. We would listen to this band when we were dating, when we were like driving around in our hometown, going out on dates and hanging out and driving from job to job, wishing we had disposable income.
Getting high in the morning.
What?
Sorry. There's a song that says that.
The genre of music that I would listen to in the early 2000s was sort of like that, like kind of like emo pop punk type of style of music. Actually, at the concert that I went to, one of the opening bands that was there, I was listening to them, and you had just sent me a message that's like, opening bands are never good anyways. Like, it's fine, because we were running a little bit late and thought we were going to miss part of the show. But every song they were playing, I had never heard this band, never heard any of their songs. But every song they played, I was like, I really like this. Like, I really like their sound. I like and then he plays a song. He's like, yeah, this one, this is like a cover from Under Oath or something. And like the crowd didn't really respond. And afterwards he's like, you guys don't know who Under Oath is? Like, who? I thought this crowd might like know that. Like, hold on, we're gonna try something. And for those of you that don't know who Under Oath is, they are like a screamo type Christian band from like the early 2000s. Like metal meets Christian, right? So and then he plays a few verses of a song that I recognized from another like early 2000s Christian rock band called Amber Lynn. And he like plays it and then doesn't sing the last like lyric, and a few people like sing it out. And then he plays a Switchfoot song, and like a lot more people know that one. Then he plays a Reliant K song, and like everybody knows that one. And so then he's like, okay, these are my people. What would you define that category of music from like the early 2000s? And like, nobody's really saying anything. Some people are saying, he's like, I've come to a decision on a term for this music. It's called youth group emo. And if you look back there at the merch table, I have a hoodie that says youth group emo on it. And I was this close to picking that sucker up, because that perfectly defines the music that I listened to. It does.
He didn't play any Further Seems Forever. He didn't do any FSF.
He did not.
Would you put them in the same category?
You probably could. It's weird because there's a spectrum where there are bands that like live on the fringes of that too. May is a band that Sheena and I always talk about. We're like, were they like a Christian band? Were they not? Like, they don't really seem to like cuss, but they don't really like, it's not, they're never like overtly talking about God or anything. So they're just kind of like in that style. Yeah. Anyway, May, I love them. After that first band played, the second band to come out is a band called Rookie of the Year, which is, I think, is a band that broke up, but just the lead singer still tours as the band, and he had like one other guy with him. Very, very emo sound. He comes up, and the first thing he says when he gets on stage is, "All right, you guys ready to get sad?" And then he just starts playing. They were good, but man, the 20th anniversary of the album Destination Beautiful by May was last year. This is their 20th anniversary tour where they are playing that album in its entirety. I think we talked about this a little bit mm-hmm. in a previous episode, but it was just awesome. It was great seeing the band. It was a small venue, right? Like a band like that isn't selling out arenas. So it's a small venue, like
band me like and that
me and a couple hundred of our closest friends, right? Maybe. But it was a great time. Great time. I've gone to concerts with my kid to see music that she likes. And there's a different vibe, a lot more young people, a lot more phones out the entire concert, recording like everything. Here, it's just a bunch of millennial emo folks that are just like, yeah, I'll respectfully take a picture or a short video every once in a while. But for the most part, I'm just going to, you know, enjoy the music, sing along and enjoy this. And we had a great time. Yeah, it's a fun concert.
That's really cool, man. It sounds fun. You know, we bought tickets to see ELO again, Electric Light Orchestra. Jeff yeah. Lynn's final. There's a lot of final tours happening this year.
Because a lot of the music that we like is by old people.
Well, I saw The Who and Elton John's final tours this year, and then ELO. Jeff Lynn he's not going to do anymore. The Eagles, their last tour. And then NoFX is doing their last tour this year. And they are
not nearly as old as some of those other bands you mentioned.
No. And their last show is in October in San Pedro and okay. San Pedro, California. I'm going with a coworker, Justin. It's a 3-day festival, and at the end of it is Sunday is their last supposedly, right? You know, they'll get back eventually at like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
yeah.
Good luck.
I don't know. It's weird because like a lot of those like older bands that like I like a lot of their music. I just for some reason I don't think to go to those concerts often. I don't know why. I just
they're expensive. One.
That is fair. That is fair. I don't know. I prefer a show in a small club or small venue to, I think, like an arena show, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I do, too. I prefer those to festivals, right? I'm going to the No Values tour as well. That one's in June. And that's, you know, they've got the Misfits. They've got a bunch of other bands, a bunch of other punk bands in there. And, you know, the thing about the festivals like Lollapalooza and Warped Tour, there's so many bands that their sets are only like 30 minutes long. So, yeah. And sometimes the same, like the two bands that you want to see are playing on opposite ends of the festival grounds at the same time. So you're like, which one do I want to see more?
You have to pick and choose. You have to plan out your day, man. I haven't been to a Warped Tour in 2.5 decades, but this is the second time today somebody's talked to me about Warped Tour.
Yeah, my brother, happy birthday, Tim. He sent me a message the other day. He's like, hey, Lollapalooza's up here in Washington. We should go, man. I'm like, oh, like who's playing? He's like, ah, Limp Bizkit's headlining. I was like, Brandon, what happened?
Come on up and see the Durst, man.
I did it all for the Nookie. Come on, the Nookie. Anywho.
It is funny because emo is not a phase, but, you know, our knees can't do the same things they did in our 20s.
Like, no, they certainly can't. The No Values tour, speaking of concerts and bands I want to see, there's been a couple bands in the last couple of years that I've wanted to see live. Block Party, I would love to see Block Party live. There's this one, I forget what their name is, so it doesn't matter if they ever show up. They actually toured out here last year and I missed it. And then there's this band that I've been listening to since last year, and they're weird, And it's one of the songs I quoted to you earlier. You're like, what? Getting high in the morning. And it's the Viagra Boys, the Viagra Boys. And they're going to be at the No Values Tour. And I am going to watch them. That is, I'm going to batter Linden song. No, I'm going to go watch the Viagra Boys right now. They have such a unique sound. And they've got a song called Sports. And it's just like volleyball, baseball, wiener dog. when I dropped my kid off at school, I just like put it on there. Like naked boys, naked girls down on the beach, do the dance. anyway, it is a very weird song. I mentioned Adrenochrome earlier too. They have a song called Creepy Crawlers that made you listen to it off the side. That's a funny song. They also have their vibe is so unique. And then I heard some songs that are even earlier than that, where they've got like a trippy Western or trippy country type of feel to like a couple of their songs. That is really, really interesting.
Are you just talking about Beyonce's new album?
Yeah, that must be it. Beyonce featuring X. Anyway, I recommend checking them out, but they're more avant-garde. And it's strange that they're at a punk show, but it makes sense. Now, speaking of avant-garde, last thing about music from my end, I watched a thing on Instagram recently. The composer for Twin Peaks, who passed away some time ago. It was a video of him sitting in he's being interviewed, and he's talking about how he came up with the theme for Laura Palmer's theme for Twin Peaks. And he's talking about like David Lynch being in a room with him, and he's just there in front of a piano. And David Lynch is like, imagine yourself, it's like nighttime, you're in the woods, you hear like the hoot of an owl, the wind is blowing through the trees, and there's like behind one of the trees you see a young girl and she pokes her head out. And so this is how he's talking to. And so the composer's like, okay. And he starts playing a tune like dum 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 dum. And then David Lynch says, slow down the tempo a little bit, make it a little bit slower. And he's going through this whole thing, and it's like 4.5 minutes. And it's mesmerizing because you're like going through this like memory of this guy, remembering how he came up with this theme with David Lynch in the room. And it makes me want to watch it again, actually. Kind of like, it's so cool. I don't even like the theme that much, but I love the process. Yeah, the process of it.
I am not very musically talented personally. I have an appreciation for music, and I love watching artists who are very talented make music, like come up with an idea, whether they're starting with a melody, whether they're starting with a lyric, and how just like the kernels of an idea start to develop into a full-fledged song. And that collaborative effort where people are bouncing ideas off of each other, and then, oh, let me play a little bit of this, and then somebody riffs a few more, you know, lines or something, and then a music that millions of people might hear, if it's like a really like big pop song or something like that, like just to hear that song in its infancy as it's, you know, being worked out. I'm always just super blown away by that process.
The oddest thing to me about music, and I'm somewhat of a musician, not fantastic, but I'm somewhat of a musician.
You're humble. You're humble.
it's the layering, right? You can start off with the same two chords, just a dun 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 dun, and if you keep doing that, like, you don't necessarily hear anything else other than that dun 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 dun. But then you record it, and then as you're listening to it playing back, because really good musicians can, I can't. It, like when you're listening to it play back, you're like, I wonder if I put this note here, and dun dun And then you put them together and then you're like, huh, that's interesting. Well, and then you start messing with the mix. You're like, oh, let me put this one over on this side on, and let me put this other one on the right side. And then, okay, all right. Oh, now it feels like the middle of it needs a little bit something. So then you're like, okay, maybe I'll put the drums in the middle. Like I'll put a simple just drum, you know? And so like, then you're starting to add on top of things. And so your initial dum, 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 dum turns into something completely different and unique. Whereas yes, the root of it is similar to so many different things. It's what the end product is that becomes so much different. And if you listen to any like recording of popular music, with the exception of like a cappella or just like a piano and singing or a guitar and singing, and if you listen to it critically, you'll start to hear all the different things that they're putting into it. And you might think like, oh yeah, it's just two guitars, drum and bass. But even during like a single song, you'll notice that the producer has come in, and maybe during the chorus, he expands out the guitars on both sides of the mix. And then during the verse, quiets it down and puts it into the middle of the mix. Sometimes you won't even notice that if you're not listening to it with headphones or earbuds. But that's so cool. Man Who Sold the World, like the drums are like entirely on the right side of the mix. On mono, you don't really hear that. Anyway, gonna talk about it for a long time, but that's the beauty of music, and it's building on top of things, building blocks.
You know, it's funny about this episode, Brandon.
Hmm.
We're 45 minutes into it. We've had some great conversations. I have no idea what the episode image is going to be for this podcast. Right now, I'm just like, emo cookies? Am I going to do a Mother's Cookies bag with an emo haircut? I don't know.
You know what you can do? Here's now we're going to...
With an eclipse in the background.
We're going to riff on image graphics here on Apathetic Enthusiasm. So here's what you do. This way, here's...
Nothing like an audio format to discuss imagery.
No. Be very descriptive in what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So there's a blue background. That's it. Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Oh, over the blue background, it says... Apathetic Enthusiasm.
and then it's got a picture of you and me at Amazing Hawaii Comic Con. Huh?
I'm that's what I'm using for this graph. It's context be darned. That will be the image I will use for this episode.
I do have an idea though. I do have a real idea though. And here's what my idea is, Travis. You take a 70% eclipse, right? Just like a 70%, right? The crescent. Yeah. And then coming out from behind the crescent, you have animal cookies, the circus cookies. You've got May, the May logo. You've got Twin Peaks. You got whatever else we talked about during this episode. Yeah. The no values. Yeah. No
candy pouring out of the eclipse.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what you do for the image. That's what you do.
We'll figure it out. I mean, that's way harder than me just using a like an 8-year-old picture, but that's fine. I guess I'll do that.
But too. Is it more fun?
I'm sure it will be. Mm-hmm. You let us know because you can see the image.
Call
right
to action.
Now. Like you can see it.
Critique.
Especially if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast. I don't know what else is going on. Spring is in the air. Yeah. Temperature's warming up. You getting out in the old garden, Brandon?
Oh, yeah. Just this is Brandon's gardening moment. So some time ago, I took a couple of strawberries that I bought from the store, and I took a little knife and I got a bunch of seeds. Well, no, I trimmed the side of a strawberry. So I can dry off some of the seeds, right? Dry them up so that I can plant them later instead of like buying strawberry seeds, which by the way, I can't find any strawberry seeds anywhere at the store. Whatever.
They're like, just buy a strawberry.
So I dried them out and then I 3D printed a little planter things. And then put some soil in there.
So you 3D printed like a strawberry. It's like, that's not how gardening works, Brandon.
It kind of tastes dry.
Not sweet at all.
And plasticky.
Very, very plasticky.
And so I planted a bunch of seeds. And I woke up Friday. I looked up, I lifted up the lid and I looked. There was a seedling. There was a single seedling popping up out of the six that planters have. And then I looked on Saturday morning and then another little tiny green one. And that same one was popping up. I'm like, ooh, green thumb Brandon. Oh, I'm motivated now. So Chelsea and I went to Target on Saturday night. And while we're there, I saw like this, like a large 56 planter kit, starter kit. And I was like, and it was like $10. I'm like, yeah, I could do that. I've got some cilantro seeds. And then I got it home and I was like, you know, I don't want to put that nasty dirt in there. I should get like some, okay, I'll go to Lowe's. So Sunday I went to Lowe's and I got planting soil. And then I got some nematodes and then, for the bad dirt that I'm talking about, like I want those nematodes to get in there and kill off all those parasites before I plant some good stuff in there again. You know what I'm saying? And then,
I mean, not really, but sure. Okay. I think I'm tracking.
No. Trust me. Nematodes. They're so small. You can't even see them and they kill the actual like parasites and stuff in the soil that damage your plants.
Interesting.
Okay. And then I also bought, if you go to Lowe's, I don't know if they out there, but you can buy live ladybugs. And then, you know, we take the ladybugs, you take them home, and you put them in your
crush them up and you put them in your sangria.
this is gonna sound weird, Travis. More weird than your sangria thing is you put them in the fridge. You take your ladybugs and you put them in the fridge, right? And there's a lid on it, so they're not like running all over the place. And the reason you put them in the fridge is to calm them the fuck down, so they don't. They're sure. Like, oh, we're crazy ladybugs. Like, no, you ain't crazy. You're cold. And then
freezing ladybugs.
And then once it's nighttime, then you take them out and then you put them in the garden because at nighttime they don't fly. I don't know if you know this. The ladybugs don't fly at nighttime. So you calm them down in the fridge. Nighttime, you release them into your garden. But that's not what I want to talk about, Travis. What I want to talk about is
why don't they aren't eat they aphids? Like, oh, they do eat aphids.
Yeah. You're yeah. Right. No. You're ladybugs right. Are good. Good for your garden.
Yeah.
But that's not what I want to talk about, Travis. I don't want to talk about ladybugs, even though I did. What I noticed yesterday when I went to Lowe's was right next to the ladybug jar was a praying mantis jar. And so in this praying mantis jar, bucket, whatever, it's got a lid on it. But there's a, I guess it's the seeds that praying mantis are laid in. And it's like a mud, like a kind of like a mud dauber type thing. It just like looks like an
egg.
Yeah, but there's like 100 to 200 of these things in there, and so we have to wait like 2 to 6 weeks for them to start hatching. And once they do start hatching, then I go put them inside the garden, which is super cool and weird. But I bought that thing because I want a bunch of praying mantises in my garden because that's cool as hell, man. that's cool.
They're gonna like mate and then eat each other.
Yeah probably yeah, they're gonna have a bunch of headless mantises in my yard. I also planted onions.
Oh good
onions and jalapenos.
Speaking of jalapenos, the peppers that Sheena always uses for her salsa, we have not. They're like a jarred hot pepper. Like everywhere sold out of them. Like can't find them. So she is attempting her salsa recipe with fresh jalapenos. And we're going to see how this works out.
The jar you're talking about, is like the can or...
No, it's a glass jar with like a red label. It's like the small, like really hot peppers. Like sometimes they have them at In-N-Out.
Like the yellow, like you're talking about, like kind of like those yellow peppers.
Yeah, like they're almost like smaller than a banana pepper.
Like a Tommy's. Like they have them at Tommy's.
They're like really spicy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are the ones she usually uses. She uses, you know, a few of those in a batch of salsa, but we're going to see. We're going to see how jalapenos do.
It's going to be delicious. It's going to be delicious. You can't go wrong with making salsa unless you put too much salt and maybe, you know, poop in it. You can't. You can because
she used basically like a not very hot banana pepper and it had like no spice whatsoever. And it was not good. It was she's like, oh, you want to try this tomato paste?
Ew.
Yeah, it was not good.
Last night I made a ribeye with homemade chimichurri sauce.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Chimichurri is so easy to make. You know, cilantro, parsley, some salt. You get some olive oil in there, some red wine vinegar, maybe some red peppers in there, some garlic, some shallot. Super easy. And here's what I'm going to do. So I have, you see, I have a square that is melted in my glass of old fashioned that I made. I have one more square open, and I got to get rid of that piece of ice, because what I can do is I have a bunch of that chimichurri left. I can freeze it. I can freeze them. And then, like, I made extra chimichurri because I'm like, I want to test this freezing thing to see if it actually works out for me.
Just have chimichurri at the ready whenever you need it.
Yeah. And I don't have regular ice cube makers. So I need to use the giant square block for my scotch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good stuff. Well, best of luck in the garden this year. I hope all of your things grow. Mm-hmm. I didn't even spray my lawn with weed killer this year, so my yard looks awful. But I do need to work on it. So, all right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get on out of here?
There was something, and now it slips my mind just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll think of it just in time for us to go record our Patreon only post show. That's right. If you are a patron, make sure you're heading over to patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm, where you can get access to those post shows at the two highest tiers, which is just like a $5, I think, tier or something. $5 a month gets you access to those. But yeah, just and five, so we're going to record that. What's $5 between friends?
Yeah,
that's it. Buy us a beer once a month, you know, or a an ice water with lime, mm-hmm. as we call it.
Oh, I remember what I want to say, Travis. I remember what I want to say. It was that because you were talking. No, not doing the post show. Not for this, because the people I want to talk to directly don't give us money for the post show.
They're not on that side of the paywall.
No, it's the Brandon and Travis Workforce Minute.
Yes, that's right.
So I want to shout out my friends over there in the place where you work for shouting me out as a joke to Travis.
That's right. As we were talking about the April Fool's pranks in the last episode, I talked about when I got pranked at our daily stand-up. You made the joke that instead of everybody not clapping, they should say Brandon instead. And the listener that we called out by name happened to listen to that episode like the next day. And as we were going out for our stand-up, he had everybody else crowded together and he was telling them something. And I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, and so I just called one person. I was like, what is he telling you guys? And he's like, it's a secret. Like, I can't tell you. And I was like, okay. And so then at the end, like, half of them said Brandon. The other half were still confused as to why they were having to say this. They probably thought it was some right-wing code or something. I don't know what it was.
Let's go, Brandon. Like, Travis likes that explains that flag on the back of his truck.
There's so many things wrong with that statement, to include me having a truck. Anyway, yeah. So shout out to the people that I work with, mm-hmm. who continue to listen to this podcast for some reason. Thank you. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Joel.
and thanks to the people that I work with that for some reason I talk so much I joke so much on a day-to-day basis at work. I don't know if you know this about me. And then they listen to me record a podcast. And it's more of the same. I'm just really confused why they would put up with me even longer than they have to.
They're not even getting paid to listen to this.
No, they're not.
No.
Go home. No.
All right. Well, we're going to go home. Thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you.
Bye.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.